Damascus in Syria, the Reverend Jesse Jackson, Lieutenant Robert Goodman Jr., who is now a free man, and joining us from Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, Robert Goodman Sr., young Bob Goodman's dad. That's the first step. Robert Goodman Sr., what do you have to say to your boy over there and to Reverend Jackson? Go ahead, Bob Sr.
Well, first, to Reverend Jackson, you did it, Jesse, and we're very proud of you and very pleased. God bless you. And to Bob, we're proud of you, boy. Come on home.
Bob Sr., what do you want to ask Lieutenant, your son?
Well, I just ask him how he feels, and did he wear his lucky socks? Ask him if he wore his lucky socks.
No, I left them in the drawer.
I told you to wear those socks.
Lieutenant Goodman, this
he had a lucky t-shirt.
His lucky t-shirt. Lieutenant Goodman, this is David Hartman in New York. See, nothing changes, does it? Your dad is on your case. He's telling you you should have worn the socks, right? You can't win.
That's okay. I don't mind. That's okay.
Lieutenant Goodman, how was your experience? What can you tell us about your experience and how you were dealt with by the Syrians?
My experience in the first period, the first 4 days was more what I would have expected. It was the classic Vietnam POW type experience. After that period, which was the same day as my first visit from the Red Cross, man, they moved me to another room, and it was a completely different experience from any other POW experience. I was treated quite well, and it really unnerved me because I didn't expect it to be treated that well. I was never, they never tried to brainwash me or change me to their persuasion. They just treated me with respect, and I think they were as much in awe of me as I was in the situation that I was in. I was treated quite well.
Lieutenant, how soon was the Red Cross, who oversees prisoner of war situations, how soon were they allowed to come in to see you? Was it immediate?
No, I was shot down on the 4th, and I saw him on the 8th. He said that he had been trying to see me for several days, but that was the first opportunity that they allowed him to see me.
Reverend Jackson, you have suggested that this was a humanitarian act on the part of President Assad and the Syrian government. What can you tell us more specifically than that about why you believe the president decided to release Lieutenant Goodman right now in this way?
Well, first of all, the combat posture between America and Syria is not in the national interest of either nation. They've been backed into a combat posture. And so long as the government relationship was a political linkage dealing with reconnaissance flights and troop deployments, as long as that process was the only process, then Lieutenant Goodman was going to be in jail for a long time. One calling him a hostage, another calling him a prisoner of war. Actually, his presence was not a deterrent to more flights. It really was a kind of a war bait. Our feeling was that if we could lead the kind of horizontal fight and make a vertical appeal on humanitarian grounds to get him above political linkage, that would break the cycle of pain. That would be a kind of breakthrough. And somebody had to make such a gesture. For example, if they had been in the Syrians held by America, if Mr. Reagan had released a Syrian prisoner of war, that would have been a breakthrough. But there were no Syrians being held. But Mr. Goodman's being held gave President Assad the opportunity to contribute in that breakthrough. And as Mr. Eagleburg had said in the State Department, the releasing of Mr. Goodman, Lieutenant Goodman, has the impact of lowering the temperature. And I hope that while the temperature is lowered, that this would be seen as a bold initiative for peace. I just wish that President Assad and President Reagan would in fact have a meeting. It's just unreasonable in a world like this for major leaders not to have a reasonable, communicating, civilized relationship.
All right, Reverend Jay, let me interrupt. What did President Assad say to you? Did he say anything specifically to you that this is a signal, that he does want to talk, that he does want a meeting with President Reagan? What did he say to you?
Well, he did not ask me to ask about the meeting with President Reagan. I just happen to know that given the fact that this is such a volatile part of the world, it's a flashpoint for hot and cold war, that there's an earnest desire by the people who live here. I think what they most want is just as we want to make all nations have a place in the Camp David Accords, all nations need a place in a strategic military and peace accord. There are 110 million people in this region, about 21 nation states. We have a national interest in reconciling our several interests. And if we measure human rights in this part of the world by one yardstick, America is going to be a major force for peace and gain the respect of the masses in this region of the world.
Did President Assad give you any indication that their country, their government, is going to make it more difficult for terrorist acts to be committed against the Israelis, the Americans, the peacekeeping forces in Lebanon?
Well, he talked really more specifically about the relationship he had with President Carter as being an amicable one, even though he disagreed with the content of the Camp David Accords. At least there was a rapprochement between the two. And even since Mr. Carter has been back in private life, he has been to Syria. That suggests he would be open to that kind of relationship with any American president. And what it says to me is that if we use this moment between the ambassadors of both nations and the presidents of the two of them, that there is a chance for more of a relationship in Syria than we have developed. There'll be areas of tension, areas of disagreement, but we ought to use this moment to expand ties with allies and potential allies in this region of the world.
Reverend Jackson, thank you. And Bob Goodman, Jr., Lieutenant, just a last quick message to your dad before you get on the plane to go to Germany.
Hopefully I'll see you tonight.
And Bob Sr., any final word to Junior there?
We love you, boy. We love you. Absolutely love you.
Also, you know, we've had, this has been the kind of complicated technical arrangement. We're operating in the same studios right here in Damascus. We spoke with CBS earlier and now with ABC. Mrs. Marilyn Goodman, the mother of Bob, is in the NBC studios, and so we're trying to speak with all parties involved. And I must say to Brother Bob Goodman Sr. that his support and the support of Marilyn and Tara and the children was the moral support that the ministers needed. We feel that the government cooperation combined with the prayer and fasting of many seriously minded, disciplined religious people had a great impact. This was not just a kind of cornflake without milk operation. There were a lot of forces. In this instance, our governments cooperated and gave us a chance to make a moral appeal and to make a difference. And so we want to thank all parties involved, but none are more central than the parents. Thank you, Bob Sr.
Thank you, Jesse.
Reverend Jackson, thank you from Damascus. Lieutenant Goodman, welcome home pretty soon.
Thanks a lot.
Bob Goodman Sr., thank you very much.